thankful to be in the house of the Lord with you all today. Never take it lightly or for granted that when I get up on a Sunday morning, I have a place to go, a place where I feel like I belong. And certainly Citywell has been that for me and my family for roughly 7 years now. And man, God is good and faithful. I see new faces, and that's always a gift. So again, my name is Keith, and I stand before you humbly, excited to release this word God has put in my spirit. He's, you know, they call preaching the kind of the profession of agony, because if you wrestle with God and say, well, Lord, you know, how am I supposed to say that, or how will the people receive it, it can be a bit of a challenge, but I'm amongst family, so it'll be all good. The lesson this morning, the lectionary lesson this morning is from Genesis chapter 12. And it is, I will read for us verses 1 through 4, or 1 through 4a. It's titled, The Call of Abraham, or The Call of Abram. The Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. Let us pray. God of the mighty Duke Blue Sky, but it is also beautifully Carolina Blue as well. As those teams wrestled again in classic battle, we thank you for the wrestling that we must enter into now to seek to persist in victory as you promised Abram. We come before you this morning because we realize that victory is truly in you, O Lord, and it is in you and your face we seek this morning. So we bless you and surrender to your word and pray that our hearts and minds are open and ready to receive that we might truly live in the promise that you've made to your children. In Jesus' name, amen. I wrestled a long time how I was going to get in that little plug, you know, about the basketball game. I said, I can't do it in the sermon. I got to do it in the prayer, you know. If you ever want to slide something to somebody, do it in the prayer time, you know. I want to pray for you. Then you can kind of throw in, you know, what you want them to do. You learn those things, those tricks of the trade when you get to be a preacher every now and then. But thank you for humoring me. But, yeah, you know, full confession for me, I generally don't give up things or take on anything in particular during the Lent season. Just over the years, it's just never become something that I kind of leaned into. And I guess I've resisted it in some ways that sometimes we may resist, like New Year's resolutions. It's like, you know, why would I do that? Because I know I'm going to fail. I'm not going to be successful at it. So that might have something to do with it. I also, I went to a Catholic high school, Archbishop Carroll Fighting Lions High School in Washington, D.C., and I'm Baptist, and I remember Ash Wednesday services there, and our church never really emphasized it, so I just thought it was a little embarrassing to have the ashes on my forehead, and it just seemed ritualistic. I never really embraced this notion of Lent, but I've grown up and matured a little bit, and thanks be to God, you know, through my Duke Divinity School experience and, you know, being in the Methodist community and embracing other denominational traditions, I see Lent as really essential for our journey. So I'm thankful to have a chance to take on this moment in the second Sunday of Lent to encourage us all to listen in to the heart of God and to what God is saying to us during this season. I was even thinking, I recall fondly my high school years, Father Mudd, true name, Father Mudd, Mr. Hoderney. You know, I don't recall a lot of emphasis on the spiritual practices, but again, I was in high school, so all I was focused on was other things that high school young men can be focused on. but if I'm really honest, I like to eat. You know, I just don't really like to fast. I don't really like to give that up. So, I also most often always have to be doing something. If I'm honest, I'm a multitasker. You know, most people say you can't do that, but I promise you, you can multitask. I do it all the time. I'm even right now while I'm up here preaching, I'm thinking about what I'm going to eat for lunch. You know, I mean, you can do it. I mean, be honest. I mean, we can multitask. But part of the challenge for me in the Lent season is to, you know, it's to step back and wait, be patient, and seek to lean in into it. This Lent is different for me, though, but not necessarily by choice. It seems like I'm going to make up for all of the past years I haven't really leaned fully into it. And I'm grateful, for the most part, for this season, because I believe God is saving me all over again. And I'm pretty certain it's not just me. I think God wants to save us all over again from ourselves, from our own self-destruction in many ways. And it can be pretty terrifying when you come to terms that we are ashes and we are dust. And our days aren't promised to us. So, you know, whether you or I choose to lean into Lent or not, God chooses to lean into us. God chooses to lean into God's family because God wants to speak those blessings to us. God knows that we need to hear blessings and not cursings. God wants to lean in. God wants to wrestle with us. Pastor Crystal challenged us, or I guess our call as a church was to persist through the book of Genesis by reading a chapter a day or so. And you know, by now, if you started last Sunday and read a couple chapters and read a chapter a day up until now, you should be around chapter 10 or so. And chapter 9, I believe it's chapter 9 or chapter 10, but you have the stories of the families of God, the kind of the lineage, and then you have the Tower of Babel moment. But yet again, as I waded through the Genesis narrative, and I've already finished it by now. You know, in preparation for the sermon, now I got that out of the way, right? I don't have to really take time and go chapter by chapter again. That resistance from wanting to rush ahead. But indeed, you know, if you look ahead in the Genesis 32, you find that, you know, Abraham's grandson has this wrestling moment, right, with the divine God, right? God comes in and sort of dislocates this grandson of Abram. You know, God continued to prove that God will indeed pursue us and make us his own. And then his grandson says, you know, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. You know, there's that really powerful moment. But indeed, as I said, God has called me away. He has called me away to, again, not of my own choosing, to lean into Lent this year in a really profound and deliberate way. And I'm going to ask you all's prayers during this season, even as I share this word with you this morning. But about this time last year, I was in a really troubling space. I had had my surgery on my shoulder, tore my labrum. And where's Carly? I remember Carly, we shared, and then Richard, we all had this big contraption on our arm. Carly, when she described her injury, it was like far worse than mine. So I was like, I need to suck it up and act like, you know, ain't nothing wrong. But it was my second surgery in my lifetime and one of the most painful that I've ever experienced. And then about right around this time last year, exactly this week, and I know because Madison's home for spring break, I was hit by two viruses at the same time, a stomach virus and food poisoning, excuse me. And so in the course of about 13 hours or so, my body was just totally incapacitated. And I couldn't move, and they I had my first and hopefully last ambulance ride to the ER. And I if anybody's experienced anything like that, I mean, my God, it was last year, so last year, I'm glad. But again, I was forced. I was forced into the recognition of my limitations, right? Recognition of that I am dust, and that I am fragile. I had to give up things during that time, you know, again, not by choice. And in the text today, Abram had to give up some things, right? You know, God says, just out of nowhere, notice for the first time, God sort of initiates something. It's not God responding to all the trouble that has happened up until we get to chapter, the recording of the beginning of Abram's journey. God takes initiative, and God makes this promise. God says some pretty audacious things to this one we would call the friend of God, the father of faith, right? So much so that it includes us today, all these many thousand years later. We can, like, really embrace this. It's not just a song to say, I'm blessed in the city, I'm blessed in the field. It's like, it's a promise that is true. And the more you sit with it, the more it kind of does a double, well, it's like a double-edged sword. It's like, no, I'm not. I'm not. Oh, wait a minute. Yes, I am. Oh, yes. You know, it takes time to kind of come to this. Did you say that to me? Me, little old me? This, I mean, really? I'm blessed. You know, my family, for generations to follow will be blessed. Do I have to do anything? I'm like, I don't know what to say, Lord. You know, has anybody given you a gift that big? You mean you, me? We don't get all of this in the text, but the Lent season asks us to self-reflect for a minute, right? But when you do it deep enough, you get liberated out of yourself, and all the focus is on this Almighty God. And then the gift of the Genesis narrative affords us the occasion to listen to all that God said, right? We get that first statement, but as you read, as we will read throughout Lent, the excitement that I hope you will have is to see how God piled on to all of that, right? In Crystal's sermon last Sunday, she said, Eve added some things, right? Serpent says, well, did God say this? She said, well, God said that and this. We're not supposed to even, like, touch the tree. Matter of fact, devil, we're not supposed to come within 10 feet of the tree. And if we come in within 10 feet, we're not supposed to even touch it with a 10-foot pole, devil. Get thee behind me. I mean, you know, the imagination that, oh, God has put this in place for our protection and our blessing and our, you know, the promise God has made. And so as you look through the rest of Genesis, and as Abram goes through his life journey, right, he has to, first of all, there's some things I just want to encourage you all in with respect to our journey through this Lent season in Genesis. The first gift is understanding that the promise was not just for Abram. It was for this new family of God that God was creating. That includes all of us. And the emphasis is on community, is on our persistence in community, to find beloved community, to go participate in beloved community, to create it. And that's, in and of itself, is worth thinking, like, about the communities that God has made you a part of and to invited you to persist in, right? As simple as showing up here on Sunday, Sunday after Sunday, even when necessarily you may want to be somewhere else. This covenant that God makes with Abram, as I sat with it, it reminded me, oh, that's the key to the journey. It's not isolation, it's connectivity. It's celebration of the gifts of others. If you don't feel necessarily blessed in your own life, look to your neighbor and rejoice in their blessings. Their blessings are ours. There's a pattern in Scripture that is so beautiful to behold if we can just learn to live into the rhythm of it. And so you can be delivered from your own, you know, self-defeat by learning to look at the victories and the joys of others. It's a great place of liberation. But as I said, as you continue on through Genesis, God says some other things to Abram. He says, I will make dust of the earth. See how God, like, let me remind you about creation. From dust you are, to dust you return. But dust is not a bad thing. It's like, it's a lot of y'all out here. I've done it all. I just look around. Later he says, look up to the skies. Again, that creation narrative, that authorization of the great author of God that says you can look down and you can look up. And it's all mine. And it's all very good. It all holds promise and it all holds hope. And when you learn to create altars like that in your life and in the world, I won't say it will be an easy life. But man, it'll give you a sense of buoyancy in your step and a joy in you that people will ask and wonder, how do you live that way? And I say, well, take a little time, walk with me for a while. Let me tell you about this Jesus. Let me tell you about this encounter with God that has made it possible for me to still say, I can't believe, God, you would do this. I don't deserve this. How have you made this possible? How have you made this possible? I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth so that if anyone could count the dust, then your offspring could be counted. So just a couple things, and you know, I'm very much watching. Oh, my clock, okay. Watching my time. So God has given us an altar here at Citywell, a covenant family. I told you my family and I have been 7 years. My son Madison was baptized here many years ago. I just celebrate and rejoice in the Lord that he's here today. Lauren had to go back to school today. Their spring breaks didn't entirely align. But I thought about the fact that, now y'all know I'm getting ready to jump. Some of y'all know. So I'm just telling you in advance, I'm getting ready to like make a real leap here. Because God has seen fit to award him the fellowship with Reality Ministry. For yes, indeed. Yeah, we in there. I'm pretty mild-mannered guy. You know, if you'd have, even when Duke was winning last night, I wasn't, you know, I was chilling and everything. I wasn't. But when God calls you to be a part of a community, I know what that feels like. And I know what the reality community has meant to me. And I don't take it for granted, but I think about this. I say, like, God, you've planted, you know, my son in this community with these beautiful friends. I said, man, God, you for real about this? Now, God, you know you got to get him to graduate, first of all. He still got a couple months left. But you have really blessed us. And that's a gift that I can't begin to say thank you enough, Lord. And in ways, God wants to do that with all of us, plant us in communities, so that we can persist in the faith, because we know when times get tough, we need those around us who know how to pray, who know how to lift us up and can keep us on the journey. Abraham had to go, right? Madison's got to go from our house. He got to get up out the house and find him a new land and a new community so that, you know, God can do what he need to do in him, right? See, that liberating word is what God does. So community, create the altar of community, God said, and reinforce that to my people. Then the second altar is character. You know, it says in Genesis 15, Abraham believed the Lord and he credited to him as righteousness. Some texts, that could also be interpreted that it was credited unto God as righteous, that God would take the risk of bestowing this greatness on Abraham and trusting that he would not foul it up. Because let's be real here. So far up until this point, a lot of things have been fouled up as God had began the creation story, right, amongst us. And so God said, remember to create the, remind my people about the altar of character. You know, the altar of reflection, reflecting on the need to have the Holy Spirit and God to keep you steadfast in your honor of God and the honor of your life. Ellen Davis, one of the esteemed professors at Duke Divinity School, who I hold in highest regard, has written a book called Getting Involved with God, Rediscovering the Old Testament. And she writes a statement in the book that says, a stable self develops through one means only, the difficult discipline of obedience to those who are ahead of you in our journey toward God. In English, as in Hebrew, the word obedience denotes acute listening. We grow as Christians by listening acutely to others, living and dead within the community of faith, and letting their authority be a shaping future in our lives. During this Lenten season, God is surely saying,